Together. And now take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2, which it tells us about Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. We're not that far from Bethlehem, are we? That's what your song was saying. So, Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Last week I shared a message on Simeon, which started at verse 25 through 35. We'll go to the verse 1, since this is a few days just before Christmas. What an appropriate time to read the Christmas story of Christ. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census to be taken all in the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken from Aquinius, was the governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family of David. In order to register along with Mary, he was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told by them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. In a comic strip by Bill Keynes, in the Family Circle, has communicated a beautiful truth about Christmas. The children were setting up the nativity scene, and little Dolly, as she picked up and helped the baby Jesus, held it up high and said, "Guess what? Here is the star of Bethlehem." When we think about Christmas, every year, Christmas time, many believers read the account of Jesus' birth just as we read it here this morning. But perhaps we've forgotten just how important it is. More often than not, we skim over the verses, telling ourselves that we already understand because we've read it so many times. However, without a deeper and more, what I would say, intimate look at our Savior's birth, we can miss the real truth the Lord wants us to learn and apply in our lives every day. So this morning, first of all, I want us to look at the eternal meaning of Jesus' birth. From the human perspective, there was nothing special. Well, I'm saying the human perspective, and we have human perspective in our world today. So from the human perspective, Jesus' birth, just normal. Why would I say that? See, Mary and Joseph were poor, ordinary people having a baby, yet this event was the most significant event in human history. This child, conceived of the Holy Spirit, was fulfilled even back in the Old Testament biblical prophecy. So that's what makes it so significant in our lives today. See, the Romans were in control in so much of the human authority to get their way, exerting their power, because the Bible says they had a census, and everyone had to go back to their own town, where they was born, to give an account of themselves. So, like our government today, they issue a decree, and most of the time, by their authority, we have to abide by this. Because it's human law. It's law. In reality, though, God controls the world. Amen? God controls the world. In all times and places, he works his will. God did not write the Roman law, but judged it. God did not soften Joseph's bumpy road, but he strengthened him. He doesn't always soften our bumpy roads, does he? He doesn't soften it, but he strengthens us in that process and our journey each day. That's why the Apostle Paul always said, you know, when I'm weak, when the roads are bumpy, that's where I get my strength, because I know the Lord is with me. And the Lord was with Mary and Joseph this whole process. You imagine how far they had to go on this bumpy road, and Mary expecting a baby. I mean, women today just maybe go just a few miles and they ride in comfort. Mary had to ride a donkey. And all the stops, probably close to 80 miles travel that they had to make on a donkey. See, God is in charge of our lives too. He will guide you and he will provide for all of your needs. Like Joseph, he lived day by day by faith, trusting God that he was in charge of everything. So, in the same way, events and seem ordinary in our lives, any event that we encounter, any event that takes place in our lives seems ordinary. And it may be occasions when the Lord is doing something awesome, just when we think it's ordinary. Because God is continually working to achieve his purpose. Every event and choice in our lives has significance. Just like Thursday night, that was significant in the life of not only those who were here, being surrounded by us as a church, reaching out, might just seem ordinary to a lot of folks, but it was significant according to the way God works His intimate plan in our lives. So you see, we can't determine a person's value by his or her environment. And when a king is born, he laid in silk, anointed with spices, but Mary gave birth in a stable filled with the smell of livestock, wrapped him, as the scripture says, in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger. That's what verse 7 says. Nothing surrounding his birth revealed the significance of her newborn babe. A little girl, a 10-year-old girl, she was with her family and a group from the church, and they were going out into community, and they was looking at all the nativity scenes and so forth. And they happened to stop at this one church who had a beautiful nativity scene set up in front of the church. And as they were just looking and admiring how beautiful the nativity scene was, the grandmother said to her granddaughter, "Isn't that the most beautiful nativity scene that you've ever seen?" And the 10-year-old girl said, "Yes, it is, grandmother." But she said, "I've just noticed one thing. Is Jesus ever going to grow up? Because every year he seems to be the same size." You know, the birth of Christ was only the beginning of God's great plan. Only the beginning. And if we can just visualize 2,000 years ago when God sent His only begotten Son into this world, if we could only visualize the beginning of God's great plan, how much more significant our lives would be in our service to Him and serving one another. See, God had a goal in mind, and that goal extended infinitely farther than a baby in a manger and the creation of an annual holiday, right? It does. And all too often, the world judges a person's worth based on their surroundings. But in the Lord's eyes, every person is significant. See, He created each of us for a specific purpose and loves us unconditionally. And that's what we are to do with one another. That's how we are to extend ourselves as a people, as a church, to love our community, to love others unconditionally as Jesus Christ loved us. See, the ultimate proof of our worth is the fact that Christ considered us to be so valuable that He came into this world as a baby. He did grow up. The little girl thought, well, she's always the same. But He did grow up, and He went to the cross, and He died for our sins. And there's five things I want us to look at about Jesus Christ. The significance of His birth. In John 3:16, it explains the eternal life, that the gift of life that God gave us. First of all, its source is the sovereign God of the universe. Secondly, His motivation was the gift of love. And that's why I'm saying that John 3:16 is the ultimate verse in the Bible that explains of God's great love for you and me. Thirdly, the recipients is any person who will accept Him in this world, in this day and time, in this time of the season yesterday. You very ever seldom see this anymore. Used to, down in the South, we saw it all the time. Preachers or ministers standing out on the street corner proclaiming the gospel. Yesterday, in Connersville, Indiana, there was a man standing in a corner with a microphone, and he was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was hard to understand exactly everything he was saying, but that's what he was doing. And there was children lying down the sidewalk, and they had signs saying, "Jesus loves you. Are you going to heaven or hell?" I mean, that was pretty blunt, right? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Today, you know, it kind of reminded me, I was thinking about the man standing there on the corner preaching the gospel. I thought about rolling down my window and asking, is his name Paul? Because, you know, the Apostle Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of salvation." And that's why Jesus Christ came into this world, that reciprocants like you and me would receive the free gift that John 3:16 is talking about, that we might have eternal life. That is the birth of Jesus Christ. And the purpose is to save us from eternal separation from God. Now, nobody wants to go to hell, right? We hear all about it because the Bible says more about hell than it does heaven. You would think the Bible would say more about heaven, but God chose to give us more information about hell because that in itself would be terrible. But as Jesus, as he hung on the cross, "May this cup pass. May this cup pass." See, he didn't want to be separated from the Father. And that would be the worst torment for any person living, is to be separated from the love of God, his unconditional love. Jesus prayed that prayer in the garden, didn't he? "Lord, may this cup pass, but not my will, but your will be done." That is God's unconditional love for each one of us. So the purpose is to save us from eternal separation from God. And then the duration of the gift is what? Eternal life. Eternal life. See, many people can quote John 3:16, but have little understanding of how its message can transform their lives. Like the little boy in Chicago standing on the corner selling newspapers. He didn't know the significance of John 3:16 until a policeman introduced him to the lady in the big house down the street. He entered that door and she expressed John 3:16 and showed him all the love through the steps and the procedures that she led him through that day. He said, "I don't understand any of this, whatever John 3:16 means. But in the end, when he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, now I understand what John 3:16 means. That God so loved me that he saved a wretched little boy just like me." So remaining unaware about the deeper blessings of our salvation is like receiving a beautiful wrapped gift and leaving it unopened for the sake of its appearance. See, when this happens, becoming a child of God is seen as merely a guarantee eternal life, but salvation goes far beyond that. We need to open up the gift of salvation and experience all the benefits that beholds each one of us who knows Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And thirdly, why we must share the good news of Christ's birth. It's all right here in the Scriptures as we read it. See, the shepherds were absolutely awed by what they saw. And guess what? They couldn't keep it to themselves. If you know what you know that you have in Christ Jesus, don't you want others to know what you have? Just think, anything that you have that you're excited about, do you hold it in to yourself? And it could be anything. No, you go tell your friends, your family, this, look what I have. We should be more excited as a people, as children of God, as a household of God, that we have something special that has been given to us through Jesus' birth. See, we need to be as bold as the shepherds. See, it's our job to share the good news of the gospel with others, yet so many believers lack the courage to share their own faith. And sometimes we feel like we don't know enough, but we know so much more than the shepherd because we have the Word of God. They got to experience it firsthand. But guess what? We get to experience what God has prepared from the very foundations of the world and has reserved for us the Word of God as an expression of His sovereignty and His love. So who could have ever imagined God's plan? Who could ever imagine? The shepherds couldn't comprehend it all. Everyone in that day couldn't exactly comprehend it all. Even Mary herself at the very beginning couldn't comprehend because it says that she pondered on these things. She pondered with awe and amazement that God has chosen her to give birth to the Heavenly Father, Son. So however Christ came to live among us, and we can identify with Him because He identifies with all of our heartaches, our frustrations, our fears, and even going a little bit further than that, He can identify with our temptations. Because Jesus Himself, and in Hebrews chapter 4, said that Jesus was tempted in all ways as we are every day of our life, yet He chose to remain true to the Heavenly Father. So He can identify with us, with our frustrations, with our hurts, with our fears, and our temptation because He experienced them Himself. Years ago, an interesting sign was seen hanging in a store window during the Christmas season, and the original message stated, "Let's make this the best Christmas ever." And underneath, some prospective person had scribbled a little note there saying, "How will we top the first one?" Yeah, how do we top the first one? See, God has promised an event that will easily overshadow the events that surrounded the first coming, which is His second coming. One of these days, He's coming again. And we'll all behold that. We'll all see that. Last Sunday, this one statement, I didn't know that it would impact so many as it did. It didn't even impact me by me saying it. Is talking about Simeon being able to live long enough to see the Savior firstborn. He helped him. He blessed him. And my statement was, meet Jesus Christ before you meet death. What a perfect gift this year. What a perfect gift to receive. It's already been revealed and opened to you. You don't even have to go to all the trouble unwrapping everything because it's right here. Jesus Christ. He shed his blood on Calvary. But before all of that, he came in here to this world as a babe. He did grow up. He went through all the temptations and all the things that you and I do on a daily basis. And you see, he endured. He made the choice to remain faithful, true, and sinless before the Heavenly Father. And see, he gives us the power to do the same thing if we're willing to just say, Lord, live your life through me daily. If we're willing to do that, we will experience truly this season the true birth of Jesus Christ, living the unconditional love in our lives and through our lives. Amen. Amen. Our Father God, we thank you for this perfect day. You have given us to come and worship you in truth and in spirit. Lord, I pray this morning as we open up our hearts to your Holy Spirit, Lord, may this message take root. May it grow. Lord, we thank you that you have given us so much in this world, but the most precious gift of all comes salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. If there is anyone here today that doesn't know you personally, Lord, I pray that this will be the day that they would invite Jesus Christ, the perfect gift, the ultimate sovereignty gift, which results in eternal life with you one of these days. You came first of all, but you are coming a second time. We all need to be ready and prepared in our hearts to meet you firsthand. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to hear your message and to respond to your invitation. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this day. And each time that we come together here in this sanctuary, we thank you for the movement of your Spirit. May we respond openly to your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing hymn number 441. Take time to be holy. Let us stand.